wasn't done looking at the two verses, actually four verses that we're looking at there. I want you to, when I read it, I want you to see that they're in two parts. There's two different arguments, all supporting what Paul has already been talking about at the beginning of Galatians chapter 3. And that is everything, the whole issue is between grace and works. He'll eventually talk about works of the law, particularly for the Galatians. They're thinking that there was some kind of a security or finality in actually being physically circumcised. And Paul in chapters 1 and 2 makes it clear that the gospel today is the gospel of the uncircumcision. And for the Galatians, they were moved away from the gospel of the grace of God unto another gospel, which is not another, but moved away because they were moving away from grace. When you get to chapter 3, it's not just the gospel of saving grace, but that the Galatians, that would it make the flesh and the works of the law, perhaps even circumcision, as part of their completion in Christ. He starts out in verses 1 and 2, actually making clear that how did you receive the Spirit? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And it's when they heard the gospel and believed it, they received the Holy Spirit. So then he moves in verse 3 to talk about, are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? So you receive the Holy Spirit on the basis of faith. And the point here is verses 3, 4, and 5 is how a saint is perfected. Even those who minister the Spirit, how do they do that? Well, they do it by the hearing of faith. And as they minister God's word, that's how people are perfected today, by the hearing of God's word. So that you're saved and sealed with the Spirit based on just believing, and it's through hearing of the word of God and believing the word of God that a saint is perfected today. And then he got down to verse 6, and he starts out with that word, those words, even as, meaning the same thing is true as you consider Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now verses 6 and 7 are pretty basic. I don't know if the sun's going to blind, it's just going to hit me. I'm okay. You know, it's all day we didn't have any sun. But verse 6 and 7 are pretty basic in the sense it's just showing that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so Abraham's the father of those that believe. And we went beyond that because I actually started in verse 8 last time to back up to make that point in 6 and 7. But 6 and 7 standalone are very easy to understand. But verse 8 goes on to say, and the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And really, verse 9 is saying the same thing as verse 7, only verse 9 is saying blessed, and verse 7 are saying that those that believe are the children of Abraham. The whole thing is, he's going on to say that what he taught in the first five verses there is true even in the sense of justification by faith, that it's on just by believing. How come that didn't stop you? This guy's over here, he's got glory going or something. Streaming video people are wondering what we're doing. We got sun coming through the window shining on certain people and they think they're better than everybody else. Yeah. So anyhow, he's just using Abraham as an example of someone justified on the basis of faith, not on the basis of works. Paul does that in Romans 4, 3 and 4, actually verse 4, chapter 4. And so anyhow, when we were looking at that, we looked a little bit more than verse 6 and 7. There's some things in verse 8 that are kind of technical that we're going to go back and look at a little closer today. But we did some groundwork in so that we could actually show that in verse 6, Paul is quoting Galatians chapter, in Galatians 3:6, Paul is quoting Genesis chapter 15, basically verse 6. And that is, that's where it's recorded that Abraham believed God and it's counted to him for righteousness. There's a difference when you get to verse 8, he goes on, he's saying, and the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and now he doesn't quote what he did in verse 6. He actually quotes Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Yeah. What's that? Did I say something wrong? Okay, thank you. Correct me, because I don't know why I'm saying things wrong, but I always do. But the point is like we can see the gospel real easy in verse 6, because we're talking about justification on the basis of faith. It says real clearly back there in Genesis 15, verse 6, that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. But then how do you see the gospel in verse 8 in that statement, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed? And that's even before Genesis 15, 6, where Abraham is justified on the basis of faith. Here we're back in Genesis 12, 3, where God is just now making a promise to Abraham that in him all the nations of the earth be blessed. But what we did last week, and where I want you to at least understand, is in verse 8, when Paul does this, the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preach before the gospel unto Abraham, that in what Paul, both back in what's said in verse 6 and what's now said at the end of verse 8, that these things were statements that the Holy Spirit inspired and put in Scripture way back in the book of Genesis, and the truth of what was said back there lied dormant all the way until the Apostle Paul comes on the scene, where Paul can now go back and grab that information and declare how a person is justified by faith, and how in that statement, how Gentiles are going to be blessed in that statement to Abraham, that he can even see the gospel in that. That's why I look at that and say, the scriptures foreseeing. Nobody else could foresee this. And if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit inspiring Paul to look back at Genesis and use these verses, they would have sat dormant without anybody seeing it. No one's preaching justification by faith until the Apostle Paul came on the scene, but yet he can go back to Genesis and grab that verse. He can go back to Habakkuk and grab the verse about the just shall live by faith. So I'm just amazed how the Holy Spirit can put something and put it right there in plain sight, hidden scripture, let it lay dormant until after the cross work of Christ, Paul can grab it and explain justification by faith. And even to the Jewish people who had the law, explained justification by faith because he's going to Abraham before the law. In fact, he goes back to Abraham before he was Abraham, while he was Abram, before he was circumcised. And both of these statements were made before Abraham was circumcised. He wasn't circumcised till Genesis 17. So that this truth lies dormant there. But the truth is, like in verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. What we proved last week, as we went back to Romans chapter 4, and I'm not going to do that again. Hopefully they have some concept of that. But in Romans chapter 4, Paul talks about how Abraham is the father of all who believe. Because he asked the question, when Abraham was justified, was he in circumcision or uncircumcision? And the answer is he was uncircumcised at the time. And he was declared righteous when he was uncircumcised. See, the Galatians who think in circumcision counts for something, even Abraham, it didn't count for his righteousness. There's nobody counted righteous because they're circumcised. And so he argues that Abraham becomes then the father of those who believe who are uncircumcised. Well, that's us. But then he turns around and he says, and he is the father of them that not are just the physical seed of Abraham, but also who walk in that faith of their father Abraham. Meaning that Abraham is the father of all who believe. He's the father of Gentiles who just believe and are declared righteous by grace. And he's the father of the nation of Israel, who are the seed of Israel, but not just the seed of Israel. That's not good enough. The seed of Israel who also had faith like Abraham had. Now eventually I'm going to show you a passage of scripture where the Lord taught that to the nation of Israel. But our point at this is just to see that when it says in verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, that everybody, Abraham's the father of all who believe. He's the father of all who are justified on the basis of faith, because he's the father of those who are uncircumcised who believe, and the father of the seed of Abraham, the physical seed, who also are of the faith of Abraham. He's the father of us both. That also is an important point, as we were making last time, and this is what we concluded with, is that doesn't make us a spiritual Jew. Later, at the end of this chapter, we're going to have to deal with that again. I'm not going to go back there. That's where we concluded last week, where a lot of people say, well, if Abraham's our father, then we're spiritual Jews. The argument of Romans chapter 4, he's the father of both. He's not saying the both are one. He's the father of those who believe, though they be uncircumcised, and the father of the circumcised seed, who are also walking in the faith of Abraham. So he's the father of both, not that the both, that we all of a sudden become them. And that's important and that in Paul's argument here. But his whole argument is it came to us on the basis of faith alone. So now let's pick up in verse 8, and let me point out some of the details that are here and look at it a little closer. It says, and the scriptures, so he makes that point, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And then he says, and the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Now that is the not man seeing it, but the scriptures, which certainly was inspired by the Holy Spirit, that it actually had like eyes that looked down into the future, even to our day, and saw justification by faith. But it saw it in a strange passage. It says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And I already pricked your mind there to say, how does that declare the gospel? Well, first of all, gospel means good news. The good news to Abraham is just that statement, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. But Paul is using it to go beyond what Abraham would understand that good news to be. And now hold your place here. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. And I've been saying, as a matter of fact, that he's quoting Genesis 6:3. Genesis 12:3. But I want you to look real close at that, because some could disagree. But if he's not quoting that, I don't know where he's quoting from. That's the first thing I want you to see. In Genesis chapter 12, God calling out Abraham, he makes particular promises. We're going to focus just on verse 3. He says, And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, did you see a difference there? I wrote it on the board so you would see it. That's Galatians 3:8, the end of verse 8. In thee shall all nations be blessed. What God said to Abraham is, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So not only you leave out the part of the earth, and you could understand why Paul would leave that out, because God has more than the earth in mind, but it says families, not nations. And that's helpful. I mean, just pointing that out would be helpful. There's many times that in trying to explain right division, I will quote it like Galatians says it, but I'll be referring to Genesis 12:3, that through Abraham, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. You heard me say that a million times. Well, there are verses that say that, but this one says families of the earth. And if Paul in Galatians is quoting this verse and changes the word families to nations, then you realize that those are equal terms, that they're synonymous. It is, to me, it's not hard to see. It's not even a big doctrinal issue, because back when the nations multiplied, when you go back to just prior to the Tower of Babel, Genesis 10, it talks about how that God scattered the people in the earth and divided them, it says, first into land, and then into families, into nations, into languages. Well, what's a nation made up of? Families. Before, you know, when you first get divided up, you're nothing but a tribe, and what's a tribe? A family. And then as they multiply and they organize, then they become a nation. And so there is a sense in which you would say nations and families, you can see that they're equal in statement. And because Galatians would quote this verse and have no problem changing it, then God has no problem with using synonymous nations or families. They're equal. Gentiles means nations. And so families, nations, that term is equal. But since we're talking about that, look over in Genesis chapter 22, after Abraham offered up Isaac. We're going to do this again in a moment, by the way, but for another reason. In Genesis chapter 22, in verse 18, Abraham offers up Isaac, and then God says that he repeats his promise to Abraham. He says in verse 17, Galatians 22, Genesis 22, 17, it says, in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So there's got, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, but it doesn't say in thee, does it? This one says in thy seed. This one doesn't say in thee, it says in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Same concept, but I pointed it out because he's not really quoting Galatians 3:8 is not quoting Genesis 22:18. It's more a quotation from Genesis 12 and verse 3. And then just to point out, because I'm looking for that quote, so I came across these verses. Go back to Genesis 18. Now here it is again, but when the Lord's talking here, he's not talking to Abraham. This is where the Lord comes down from heaven with two angels, and he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And as he comes and as they approach Abraham or prepare to talk to Abraham, it's verse 16 says, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the things which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation, a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, behold, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because of their sin is very grievous, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turn their face. And so when he says, should I tell Abraham, and he talks about Abraham, that through him all the nations of the earth be blessed, he's not talking to Abraham. This is not a passage where God said to Abraham. This is a passage where God is talking to the two angels discussing, should I tell Abraham? but he says it again there, but it's not a passage where he's talking to Abraham. So anyhow, we'll come back to Genesis in a minute, but there's something, going back to Galatians chapter 3, and that verse 8 there. The good news, even though Abraham, what's said to Abraham is, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and that's good news to Abraham. The good news that's being implied in Galatians chapter 3 is the good news of being justified by faith. And that's how he relates it to the gospel, in the sense that he's talking about the gospel of justification by faith. So I would say that the Holy Spirit is pointing out that the statement, in thee shall all the nations be blessed, is foreseeing and preaching justification by faith. I mean, that seems to be the context of that. If so, the answer, I told you this last week, the answer to how that can be considered the gospel and how you can see justification by faith in that statement is that word blessed. The word blessed there, when you talk about the nations being blessed, we're not talking about material blessings on the nations here. We're talking about, remember, the nations are cut off from God in idolatry. They don't belong to God. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And yet in thee, in Abraham, all the nations would be blessed. And blessed, the ultimate blessing, is a reference to how these nations can be blessed by God, how they can be blessed with imputed righteousness, that they would be blessed with righteousness that would give them a standing with God. And the nation, because that's the context here. He's talking about justification by faith, Abraham, and then seeing in that phrase that if Gentiles are going to be blessed, that means they're going to be right with God. Well, how are Gentiles going to be right with God? Well, Gentiles are not going to be right with God or receive righteousness through Israel. Israel's not going to give them righteousness. They don't have any of themselves, as you'll see. The Gentiles aren't going to get right, be blessed by God and found righteous by God because they got circumcised. Circumcision doesn't make anybody righteous. It didn't even make the Jews righteous. It was the sign that they belonged to God, but it didn't make them righteous. It couldn't bless them. Gentiles were not going to get righteous, be found righteous in the sight of God by keeping Israel's law. Law can't make anybody righteous. You're going to learn that in this chapter. Couldn't make Israel righteous. So this blessed here is how they could be blessed, found blessed of God, how they could be blessed with righteousness and accepted of God. And it's not going to be through Israel. It's not going to be through circumcision. It's not going to be through law keeping. It's only going to be on the basis of faith, as Abraham believed. But it's going to be faith in what Paul tells us, how we can be justified by faith. It's not Abraham believing his seed is going to be like the stars of heaven. It's Gentiles believing that Jesus Christ died for our offenses and was raised for our justification. And that's the means by which we're going to be blessed. Verse 8 doesn't tell you the means. It just looks back and sees that statement that Gentiles, there's a statement, Gentiles are going to be blessed. So there's a gospel being preached back there that, like I said, sat dormant of how that's possible till you come over here to Paul and learn about justification on the basis of faith. So to me, it was looking at that closer and then seeing that word blessed. That's why last week when we were in Romans chapter 4, remember how that starts out in verse 9? Cometh this blessedness when he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Or cometh this blessedness on the circumcision only or on the uncircumcision also? But he calls it this blessedness. Well, Romans chapter 4 is how was Abraham justified? The blessedness that he's talking about is justification by faith. And so that now you can look back and see that when he uses that blessedness, there is a statement, Gentiles were going to be blessed. They're going to be declared righteous. And now we understand how that can be. Now that also tells me, because when I look at that then, I'm thinking, okay, now am I saying that the mystery revealed to Paul was back there in Genesis 12, verse 3? Because I thought, what was given to Paul was the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, here's where I have to remind myself, and I remind you, that the gospel is not the mystery. Even the fact that men were going to become righteous, I'll share that in a moment, but the gospel is not the mystery because, you know, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, how that he was buried and how he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. God was going to save people and that Jesus Christ was going to die, be buried, and rise again according to the Scriptures. The part that Paul adds to that Corinthian passage is those words, for our sins. He takes the cross that was according to the Scriptures, his death, burial, and resurrection, all prophesied, but has a meaning of why he died. He adds for our sins to that. But the point I'm trying to make to you is that the gospel is not a mystery. Man knew God was going to supply a way of salvation. How, they didn't know. Paul explains how. But the gospel is not a mystery. But there is in Paul's writings, in Ephesians chapter 6, he asked for boldness that he might preach the mystery of the gospel. So the gospel is not a mystery, but there is a mystery of the gospel. And I wrote this to make sure I say it right. The mystery is not that God would justify the heathen. Obviously, because Paul just said here, you can find that back in Genesis. So the mystery is not that God would justify the heathen, but that God would interrupt salvation to the nations through the rise of Israel into her kingdom And God would save Jew and Gentile equally by the cross upon faith, and that God would save Jew and Gentile equally through the cross upon the fall of Israel and make them a new creature, one new man, the body of Christ. Now that's the difference. There's going to be salvation through the rise of Israel, and Gentiles will be a part of their kingdom. But what's going on today is that in the fall of Israel, God takes Jew and Gentile, saves them by the cross of Christ, and makes them a new creature, one new man, the body of Christ. And now that's the mystery of the gospel. And but justification by faith is not the mystery. That's why even back in Romans 1:18, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. As it is written. Boom, he goes back, takes justification out of Habakkuk and proves it. He's going to do that in Galatians 3 here. So that in the statement, when you think about it, when he says, in thee shall all nations be blessed, it's not in circumcision, but in Abraham. And it's not on the it's on the basis of faith and not on the basis of works. It's imputed righteousness, not their righteousness that he's talking about. And this was true for both Jews and Gentiles. And it's also true both in the prophetic program and in the age of grace, that a person is justified on the basis of faith. Now, you should understand that certainly that's emphasis of Paul's. He explains to us how through the cross a person can be justified on the basis of faith, but not just, you understand, not just that a person can be justified on the basis of faith. That's the only way a person can be justified, is on the basis of faith. That's what he's emphasizing with the Galatians here. But that is true in the prophetic program, but not without an explanation. And let me show you what I mean by that. Go back to Matthew chapter 8. Now, you already knew that through Abraham, the heathen are going to be blessed. Now, through that multiplied seed of Abraham and through their rise into the kingdom, the Gentiles would be invited into the kingdom. But everybody's going to be blessed, justified on the basis of faith. And that righteousness is not going to be their righteousness. That circumcision doesn't bring righteousness, and righteousness is going to come on the basis of faith. Matthew chapter 8. Is that where I got you? Good. You're in the right place. Verse 5. It says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, and speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another man, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doth it. So he understands that when someone has authority over you, you don't demand that guy to do anything, that you're that guy's servant. So he's saying, Lord, I know what, I order people around all the time, and you know, just say it, you don't need to come to my house. So he understands who the Lord is. Verse 10 says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now, a centurion, that he's someone over Roman soldiers. This is not a Jew, this is a Gentile. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto him that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great, no, not faith so great, great faith, not so in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. But real clearly here, Gentiles are going to come to faith and join Israel into the kingdom. And there's a lot within the nation of Israel who's never going to get to go into the kingdom. So there, when I say that Gentiles are going to be blessed, that is, everlasting life, right with God, that's true not only in the age of grace, but that's true in the kingdom program, obviously here. But righteousness, as we're talking about that, look back at chapter 5 of Matthew. It says in verse 17, the Lord's going over some things about the law. Think not I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So the Lord, he's the only one that could ever live and fulfill the law. But once he fulfills the law, look at verse 20. It says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, who lives better than a Pharisee does? And yet the Lord's telling them their righteousness has to be greater than that. Look at chapter 6 and verse 33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and notice that, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. There's going to be a way that Israel can be found righteous. But it's not through their righteousness. Jesus Christ is going to fulfill the law of righteousness, the law. And there's going to be a way that their righteousness can exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Because as they seek the kingdom of God, they're going to seek God's righteousness. And God has a means for Israel to be found righteous. Come back to Isaiah chapter 61. In our study in Romans, we'll probably go over the same verses on Sunday morning, because when it talks about the righteousness of God, it says, as it was is now made manifest, it says, being witnessed in the law and the prophets. God's righteousness was going to be made available to mankind, and there's a witness in the Old Testament about it. Well, you see it right here, Isaiah 61, this is where Israel, Jesus Christ comes back, saves them, blesses them, makes them priests in the earth. And so in verse 10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with a garment of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. So the person here that's blessed of God, the Jewish person saved by the Lord, is given a garment of salvation, and he's covered with a robe of righteousness. You know whose righteousness that is? God's righteousness. Look at these passages in Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 23. So the Lord pronouncing judgment against those who have led Israel astray. He says in verse 5, behold, Jeremiah 23, verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch. Now that's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called. So this king that's going to reign over them, this branch of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to call him what? The Lord our righteousness. They're not going to brag about their righteousness, are they? They're going to call Jesus Christ the Lord their righteousness. They're going to be righteous because of him. And then look how it's just kind of said just a little differently in chapter 33 and verse 16. I'll start in verse 14. Jeremiah 33, verse 14. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I promised unto the house of Israel and unto the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. Sounds just like that other verse, doesn't it? And this is the name whereby she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. That is, she is the nation of Israel. She's going to be called the Lord our righteousness, just as they're going to call the Lord our righteousness. But the point is righteousness was going to be available in the kingdom program as well as in the age of grace. Now, go to John chapter 8, because there's something else. This is kind of like some extra thought since we're on these verses in Galatians, and probably not going to go past that today. Go to John chapter 8. I want to show you something here. Now, we were all over these verses when Brandon was showing us about the deity of Christ, because it's all about the deity of Christ and who Jesus Christ is, but it's also about what Israel needed and what they weren't recognizing their need. So in John chapter 8, start in verse 31, it says, "And Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If thou continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So believe what I'm telling you, stay in it, and the truth's going to make you free. But, you know, the saints here, every once in a while, just a lot of people say the truth shall set you free. And it was Rick Foreman. I used to say it all the time, every time I'd say it, he'd correct me. He said, the truth doesn't set you free, the truth makes you free. And if you think about that, there's a difference in that. You just believe the truth and you are free. You don't have to learn the truth and kind of wiggle out of a cage or something. As soon as you know the truth, you're free. It makes you free. Anyhow, so that's what the Lord said to these Jews. But look at verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" What do you mean made free? I'm not a servant. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, Verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, how are you going to get free from that? And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So Jesus Christ can free him from the bondage of sin. He says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. So these aren't the ones who are abiding in his word. These are now the Jews that are rejecting his word. He says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do not that which ye have seen with your father. Well, who's their father? Satan. Well, no, the Lord hadn't got there yet. they're bragging, Abraham is our father. Well, what did Abraham do when God spoke to him? He believed God. Now here's Jesus Christ. He's God speaking to them, can make them free from sin, but they won't do the things that he said, so they don't do what their father did. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. That is, believe. But ye seek to kill me, a man which hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Here we go, Jim. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Now they're realizing we're talking spiritual here. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. And by the way, when someone speaks of their own, they don't speak God's word, they're speaking a lie. For he is a liar and the father of it. I tell you, and because I tell you the truth, you believe not. So there's a point here. What he's talking to them is, it's not good enough just to be Abraham's physical seed, right? They have to have the, that's what we learned last week. He's not just the father of the uncircumcised that believe. Abraham's also the father of the circumcision who believe and walk in that faith of their father Abraham, meaning the believing remnant of Israel. That he's the father of the nation of Israel, the circumcision, but not just anybody that's physically circumcised. Just because you're the physical seed of Abraham, that's not enough. You have to be the spiritual seed of Abraham in the sense that you have to believe like Abraham did. So that the Jews, it wasn't enough. They needed that spiritual birth that, you know, you could learn that in other places in the book of John here. The reason I bring that up is not only does it match what we're learning in Galatians, that in the age of grace, God is saving Gentiles, being justified on the basis of faith in uncircumcision. That's Paul's message. But even in the kingdom program, God is going to save Gentiles in uncircumcision, and he's going to save the circumcision who believe like Abraham believed. He's the father of everybody who believes. And in that kingdom program, now I want you to go back to Genesis, because this is something I've heard for years. And I heard it and I thought, you know, there's something to it that sounds right, but it can't be right. Let me show you something. I'm going to show you a couple passages. Genesis chapter 13. Where God takes Abraham he's already made that promise to Abraham, and he takes Abraham and reaccounts the situation. Look at verse 14. He said, "And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot had separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." Can you imagine a man trying to count the dust of the earth? He said, if a man can count that, that's how your seed going to be. Now, come over with me to chapter 15. And this is where Abraham's justified by believing what God said. He said in verse 5 of Genesis 15, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars." Dave Kasner helped me with that word. Like, tell the stars what? Well, the word tell means count. If you look it up in a dictionary, you find that out. We just never use the word that way. See, you go to the bank, and the person behind the screen there, she's called a teller, right? What is she telling you? Now she's counting your money. So anyhow, when he says tell the stars, he's saying count the stars. And you see it right in the context. He says, if thou be able to number them, and that's count the stars. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he says, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So one place he says, if a man can count the dust of the earth, then your seed is going to be as the dust of the earth. Now he says, look up into the heavens, see the stars. Your seed is going to be like the stars of heaven. Innumerable, the Bible says. You can't count them. In fact, if you come to Genesis 22... after he offers up Isaac and God repeats the covenant to him, he says both in one verse. In verse 17, well, in verse 16, he says, "And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the sea shore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So this time he doesn't do dust, he does sand on the seashore. But he does the stars in heaven and the sand on the sea. Well, for years I've heard commentaries and stuff make the statement that that's the two programs. The sand on the sea, that's the earth, that's the nation of Israel. The stars in heaven, that's the body of Christ. All of us are blessed through Abraham. Scratch my head and say, you know, boy, that sounds good. Don't it sound good? But then that's implying that the body of Christ is mentioned back here in Abraham. I said, you know, that's something wrong with it. I love the statement because it sounds right, and it's like a real nice picture. But if that was true, then the body of Christ wouldn't be unsearchable. The answer to that is the picture is there, but the sand upon the sea is the physical seed of Abraham. The stars of heaven are the spiritual seed of Abraham. The nation of Israel, even in the kingdom program, the physical seed of Abraham, that's not enough. They had to be born from above. So that there has to be the spirit, there's not only the physical seed, but the spiritual seed in the prophetic program, not making that from heaven the body of Christ. That represents the two births of the nation of Israel, the physical birth and then being born from above. And that Abraham's seed is going to be multiplied both ways, not just in physical numbers, but in the believing remnant of Israel that's going to enter into the kingdom. Now that matches the biblical principle here, and the things that we're learning here, because in Genesis, go back and we'll close with this. And when I say back, Galatians chapter 3, Paul is not necessarily talking about the body of Christ here when he said the gospel was preached to Abraham. He's just pointing out that the way Gentiles were going to be justified is going to be on the basis of faith, as Abraham was. And how Abraham was told that through in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. I just want to end by just making a comment. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 again, I'll conclude with verse 9 because 9's the conclusion, but 9's not hard to understand. In verse 8, what he says, and the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached. So if you just take those two statements, the scriptures had eyes, right, that can look down through time. And that it would preach. It actually had a message. That, you know, you consider that. Well, what is he talking about there? Well, when the scriptures preached to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed, that was God who said it, right? Well, here's one of those deals where the scriptures and God speaking, that's the same thing. There's no difference between God saying and then what God said to Abraham, the Holy Spirit by inspiration had written down, so that by the time you come to Paul, instead of saying God said to Abraham, he could say the scriptures preached to Abraham, because that's synonymous in the sense that it's God's word. But also the idea of foreseeing, it saw what was coming, how that God was going to justify heathen. And now we know how God justifies the heathen through Paul's gospel. We know how it's done. But that God would do it, that's what's declared back there. So that's what it's saying. The scriptures foreseeing preached before the gospel unto Abraham. And the very fact that the Holy Spirit, those words and that truth was written down in that Old Testament by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that's how he can change it from God saying it and seeing it to the scriptures seeing it and saying it. And so we come to the conclusion in verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And the whole point to the Galatians, everything's on the basis of faith. You receive the Holy Spirit on the basis, you receive the Holy Spirit on the basis of faith, you're perfected on the basis of faith, and you're justified on the basis of faith. How foolish for them to turn from that and think they can be justified by works. In fact, the next statement is now going to be the negative. As he's going to say, as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. And that's what the Galatians were turning back to, and we'll pick up there next week. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you that two verses of Scripture, or four actually, we could spend 2 weeks on and just see the depth. In fact, the verse just points out the depth when it says that the Scriptures foresaw something and said something. And Father, we realize when we open this Bible, it's you talking. This is your word. Whether it be what you said to Abraham or what the Holy Spirit wrote down of your conversation with Abraham, and that it's alive, it can look down through the ages, and that the Apostle Paul can grab that verse and show us that you planned to justify the heathen through faith, and now we can turn to his gospel and find out how you did it in this age of grace that we live in. Thank you for the truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.